Hey there, y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I'm your host, Allie Ann, and today we are doing part two of the interview with Rachel from last week. I was having just a lot of fun listening to how Rachel viewed rest and how different it was from what I have heard, in a sense that salvation is actually one of the greatest rests that we can find for our soul. And so I would definitely advise you or encourage you to listen to part one, which was last week's episode, before listening to this one, just so you can kind of get a grip of where we were, where we started. And then you can also find the blog post version down below, which would have been last week's blog post. So I will have all that detail down below, and I will let you guys listen in. Okay, so I wanted to really ask you, I can't remember what the one job is called that you do. I know you work with children, but also there is something else.
Yes, I am. My technical job title is receptionist at a funeral home. And my main role is to talk with family members and nurses and medical examiners, which are the people who basically take in the dead bodies and examine them and do autopsies. And then I record and take down information so that we can take the deceased into our care.
So I thought it was very interesting. I remember you told me a while back about how, like, what God has taught you through that job. Can you, I don't know, maybe tell us a little bit about how being working with children and then also having a job that you're working with the, I guess you would call them the deceased.
Yeah. The respectful term is, yes, just to call them decedents or the people who have passed. We do call them, you know, the physical remains is okay. Also a respectful term.
Okay. So I was actually respectful and I didn't even know it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Okay, so how is that, like, having two sides on totally different ends of life, how does that have affected, like, not just the way you live, but also just resting in God, or more of just the salvation thing, realizing that it's more important, but you're also seeing, like, the children, how they are like sinful, like you can see the sinful nature in that. Mm-hmm. How has that have affected you? How has it shown you more about what life is?
That's a great question. I love working in these two jobs because you not only get to work with different people and different professionals, but you get to share the gospel in different ways. When I work with children, I actually work at a Christian school. So I'm very fortunate that I get to talk about Jesus and not be afraid of losing my job. And, you know, children are, they live so much in the present, especially I work with 3 to 6 year olds, and their brains, I mean, it's also a developmental thing where they almost can't, cause they're not mature enough. They struggle to understand long-term, like the future. So they don't understand a lifespan or like, hey, I'm just in the very baby stages of my development. I work with 3-year-olds who think they're 13, that they're all grown up now. And, but then working with the end of life, you actually see how short life really is. And because in our system, we have the ages of when everybody dies. That's actually a big part, is that we have to write down the birth dates of all the decedents. So I get to see at what age most people die. And yes, there's a wide variety, but I'm seeing more and more of these younger deaths, like people in their 60s and 70s. My stepfather was only in his early 70s. And that's young to some people compared to people who live into their 90s and 100s. So it's taught me to not take anything for granted, because we really don't know when we're going to die. And we also don't know what's going to kill us either. It could be quick, or it could be a long-term thing. And we could have all our ducks in a row when we die, because we were maybe in a hospice, or we were in a nursing home for a very long time and our death was, you know, expected. Or it could be like, I was hit by a bus. I was, or I got cancer. Like in my stepfather's case, he had a seizure and then he, passed. He died in 40 days, after being diagnosed with brain cancer. And it was a really, really quick, deterioration of his body and his mental health. And it was so sudden that it, you know, working with people who are grieving too, and talking to family members, people really are shaken by sudden death, and whether and people start thinking about their own mortality and their own. And also the fact that we're not in control. I think non-Christians, especially who don't believe in God or think that God is not really in control of much anymore, they love planning their lives, and they love saying, okay, so I'm going to get married at this age, and then I'm going to have kids at this age. And then if I don't want kids, I'm going to be on birth control for a long time. And then when I want to get pregnant, I'm going to get pregnant right away because, you know, I'm in control. And sudden death and tragedies actually teach people that they're not in control. And I just pray that, you know, that in tragedy, it helps people come to God who maybe wouldn't have if they hadn't suffered such a major loss. So even though I cannot share the gospel at the funeral home, but because I have to respect everybody's different beliefs, and you can't say one belief is better than another belief, I do share with my actions and with my words, and with my compassion, you know, to really help people in their time of need. Because a lot of times we can show our Christianity and our love for God by loving other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like, we have had plenty of people who have told us the truth, but we are lacking actually being able to see it. Like, I've heard plenty of people who say, you know, they're like, yeah, they're supposed to be Christians and that, you know, they can't get along. Or I've had somebody mm-hmm. else say, you know, there's no action, there's no difference, they're hypocrites. And, you know, they have all these things. And even though that's not an excuse, it's still, you know, it's thought provoking to make you think, like, am I really, like, living a Christian life, or am I still living my own life?
Exactly. And sadly, there's so many Christians who have acted poorly, or maybe shared the gospel in a more damaging way, not in the way God wanted them to share it, that other people were turned away from the gospel. And I am just so saddened by that. And I just really want to spread the message that God is actually not any one person, in a sense. Like, one person can say they're a Christian, but no Christian will ever perfectly portray God and reveal God's love and character. Like, only the Bible can do that, and only the Holy Spirit can do that. So a believer who's fully in tune with the Holy Spirit will show so much more of God's true love and true character than somebody who really isn't relying on the Holy Spirit to shape and convict them, etc. And so that's why I think I've heard of so many people who say, well, I was actually saved because of someone who was a Christian and they fully lived out their Christian life and really loved me, even though I was mean to them, or maybe I called them bad names, but they still loved me. And that really affected me. So I try to do that, even though I am an imperfect Christian who does not always say the right things or express my beliefs in maybe the perfect way, because I naturally, you know, because I have flaws and I have weaknesses. And but I just pray that people will see God's love through me, and then that will help them realize, oh, like, I think there is a God, and I think there is a God that cares about me, and I want to learn more about that.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like the more rest we have, the more of an impact we'll actually make on not just unbelievers, but believers as well? Like, I have different people that have been in and out of my life that, you know, they, in a sense, portray Jesus as harsh. And so it kind of pulls me away from him. And then I've had people who, like, really portrayed love and compassion and actually drew me closer and made me rest more in him. Do you feel like maybe the more we're able to rest in him, the more we'll actually be able to portray the true character of Christ?
Oh, definitely. That's a great way of putting it, because a quick example is that about 2 years ago or so, I was burning out because I was working two jobs just like I am now, but then I was also serving at my church. And I was just so busy because I was working full time, but then also working sometimes Saturdays, sometimes Sunday evenings. And then I was doing children's ministry in the mornings on Sunday. And I was completely burning out because I just felt like, well, I have to do this though. I have to, you know, do children's ministry. I have to volunteer in some way. I have to serve God in some way. But I was not receiving the rest that I needed, not the physical rest or the spiritual, emotional rest. So then when I was serving God, I actually was not fully portraying Jesus, even though I was trying to serve God, because I was exhausted, and that made me more irritable, and it made me more emotional, and I wasn't seeming as happy because I was just depleted. And so I actually took a step back from volunteering and from ministry. To this day, actually, I'm currently not volunteering, whereas very recently I was volunteering a lot for many years, because I felt like God was telling me that the act of serving and volunteering, you know, is not going to gain me any points. It's something God wants us to do, but if we're doing it out of duty, or if we're doing it out of this obligation, you know, like, it's gonna pull us down, it's gonna drag us down and make us more bitter of, like, the Christian checklist, and more exhausted. And that was what I was experiencing. So I am taking this time away from ministry, so that when I do feel God saying, now you can go back and do children's ministry or volunteer in some way, then I will feel like it's a point in time when I do have more physical and mental energy to really serve God with my whole heart and mind and soul. And then I can express more of Jesus, as you were saying, because I would have been resting, and that rest creates more peace and more joy. And then that exudes from you when you serve others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that in my own life, specifically this year. Just the more I rest in Christ, the more it's almost like God has a vessel that he can actually use. So like we could be the glove, and God's hand has to actually be in us before he can use us.
Yes.
And I feel like if the glove is constantly resisting being on Jesus's hand, he can't, you know, actually use that. I mean, can you imagine trying to shovel and the glove is like alive, trying to move all over the place and leaving you?
Exactly. It's not going to work like that.
No, it's not. So you had mentioned just briefly when we can truly say, "Be still my soul." That has been something that God has really been working on me this year. Can you explain a little bit more about what you mean by that? How somebody knows if their soul is actually still, or how, because I feel like there's different levels. Sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, I can't ever get better than this, or I've reached the top or whatever. And a lot of times we stop there and we're just content with where we are when God has so much more. So can you kind of give like a, I don't know, like, I guess hope that there is more no matter how much we have, like our soul can always be more rested?
Yeah, there's lots of thoughts that came to my mind when you said that, but well, I think the first thing is that when I think of "be still my soul," I mean, it's from, I think that's probably one of my favorite traditional hymns. And yes, it's sung a lot at funerals, but actually I recommend to all the listeners that you go and actually look up the history of when and how these hymns were written, because I did that not that long ago. And I was just shocked at how many of these beautiful hymns were written during tragedies. Like, I mean, right after tragedies, where people are seeing their children or their husbands die, or they just watch a major tragedy happen, like with a boat collision or something, where lots of people died. And then they write this beautiful hymn, like praising God and saying, you know, my soul is resting in God. That actually has encouraged me to really understand more what a true soul rest means. So I think there's a foundation of soul rest is salvation, first off, because when you are saved and you know you're going to heaven, you could literally be in excruciating pain and homeless and, you know, like all these awful conditions, but you can still rejoice because when you die, you're going to the best place ever, where there's no pain and there's no grief and there's only joy. So ultimately, soul rest comes from knowing that no matter how bad your earthly situation gets, it's all going to be like a bad dream when we get to heaven. And then the next level is the soul rest of knowing that you have a, you know, that you're growing in your relationship with God and you're connecting with God, because God is the source of peace. Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. And only he says that if we put our yoke on him, he will care for our souls. And he says that his burden is light when we feel like our burden is heavy. And that's because there's so many things on this earth that we can't shoulder on our own, like grief or suffering or disappointment, but he can shoulder these things. And so then when we put our trust in him and we grow in our knowledge and relationship with him, he gives us peace and he gives us true rest. And I truly believe that we cannot truly ever rest on this earth apart from Christ. If people seem like they are resting and content and happy and they're not believers, it's probably because they have really good earthly situations, and they have plenty of money in their bank account. They're trusting in their bank account, or they're trusting in their, you know, household of staff members to take care of them and their personal chefs and all these things that on earth we think will make us happy and give us rest and security. Security is actually another synonym for rest as well, I think, because we can, if we don't find security in Christ, we're going to try and find security in something else, like relationships too. So many people get depressed because of lack of security in romantic or friendships. And then when these people leave, whether from divorce or death or just abandonment, they say, well, there goes my security. And that's why true rest can really only come from Christ, because Christ will never leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to go back to when you were talking about allowing Jesus to carry your yoke. So like, I have heard that. I've been saved for about 21 years now. And it wasn't until like, I don't know, either this year or last year that I actually, someone explained that to me, like how you actually do that. Can you explain to our listeners maybe how they can actually practically throw their yoke on Christ, like take up his yoke?
That's a great question. I think that when there's a major burden, what you need to do is carve out a specific period of time. Whether if you're a morning person, that means quiet time in the morning. If you're a night owl like me, it means getting out your journal and maybe your Bible in the evening. And for those who feel like it's hard to express their burdens and their yoke, I suggest writing it down, because we can more fully understand what is distressing us when we see it on paper a lot of times. But then after you write these things down, what you do is that you lift up your hands. I like to actually have like palms open when I'm praying sometimes when I'm, so it's like this physical gesture of saying, Lord, I release this. Like recently I had to release a relationship and a person, and I had to say, Lord, I want to hang on to this person, and I want to control this person and make sure that, you know, he never leaves my life. And what God was asking me to do was release him and open my hand, because I am not, that's not my jurisdiction. My jurisdiction is not to control people or force them to stay with me. And I had to, and then you pray and you say, Lord, in whatever language you feel is best, Lord, I release this person or this situation or this feeling to you. I cannot solve this problem on my own, or I can't force, you know, guarantee that this person or this security is going to stay with me for the rest of my life. So please take my yoke, Lord, and please put it upon your shoulders. And please give me peace, replace it with your peace. And when I've done that, when I fully just emotionally and mentally saying, I'm giving this to you, and actually visualize yourself putting whatever it is in the Lord's hand. I like to do that too, because I like to imagine things. So if you imagine giving your yoke to Jesus, and then leaving it there too, not taking it back. Then you know, And then you just worship and you say, Lord, whatever you do with this person or the situation, your will be done. But please give me, I also pray, please give me peace and security and joy, because I am grieving that I have to, you know, give up this person, or maybe I'm rejoicing because I don't want to carry this burden and I'm glad it's in your hands. And then God himself will come into you if you are a believer, and God will give you supernatural peace. And it may not happen in one night or one morning. You may have to keep releasing it. I've had to do that with more than one situation where it comes back and I get anxious or I get sad. And I have to remember, nope, remember, you released the situation. You gave it to Jesus. And that also then gives me peace, because I've heard anxiety is a way, another way of saying that you want to control the future, that you're trying to figure out how to control the details of your future. And being depressed means you're trying to change, or you want to change things that happened in your past. And in releasing depression and anxiety means giving it to Christ and leaving it there.
I am so going to quote you on that.
Well, I feel like I take a lot of things from other believers and from books I've read, but ultimately it's like, this is what God is teaching me. It's all from him, really.
Mm-hmm. Like those things where you wonder, is this a coincidence? Like, you know, all the situations and all the things you learn, it like comes at just the right time. And you're like, wow, God, like, I can't believe you just showed me this. And then right after that, you showed me this again. And it just, you know, like confirmation. That's always really, really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. And God will give you confirmation when you diligently seek it. And if it's his, you know, plan for you to receive confirmation right away. Sometimes he wants us to keep praying, and he doesn't want us to give up, like the story of Jesus, where he shared the story about, you know, I think it was the widow who kept knocking and kept persisting, or the neighbor who was pounding on the door and just was not giving up. And I always was confused by that parable a little bit, but I know that it means that Jesus is saying like persistent prayer, like don't give up on things that are important to you or things that are bothering you, like keep bringing them to God.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I call it holy stubbornness.
I love that.
I have been learning so much about that, especially after our pastor, he took someone in with some elders, and they prayed over this person and technically said that they weren't going to stop praying until God worked in the way that they were wanting. And I think they spent 3 hours in prayer, and he actually came through, and I was like, no way. Like, and it's still like, they're still, it's still, what would you call that? Like, they're still, the prayer is still answered. It's not like it was just a coincidence. Like, it actually happened. And so ever since then, I've just been thinking about that a lot. And then a friend and I, we call every night on Thursday, and we have prayer. And we decided to have a request for ourselves and then a request for salvation for somebody. And we decided we're going to pray for it every day. And then every week when we call, until God answers, and we're not going to quit.
So that's amazing. That's exactly what, yeah.
So yeah, I feel like there's almost like a rest in that too. It's like, you're taking that to him, and it's like, you don't have that on you until, you know, you either take it back or it comes to mind, or the enemy, you know, reminds you of it.
Exactly. And also rest really means, like, I think the dictionary definition or definition I've heard is like cease from striving. Like rest means a ceasing from striving. And for me, with a lot of situations, my brain keeps trying to solve the problem and create a solution. And there's so many situations in life where you can't like create a solution or solve the problem because either you have to wait for the solution or the answer, or because it's not in your jurisdiction, it's not your job to be solving the problem. That's God's job. And so God wants us to have rest from these things, but he's not going to force us, as you've told me before. He's a gentleman and he's not going to force you to do anything. But he wants us to give these things to him because he wants us to find peace and rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been learning that so much. Like, you know, we see all these rules and commandments in the Bible and it's like, God, you're so, you know, like ruling or whatever. And then you realize as you grow in your Christian walk, you're like, wait, these commandments are for me. You're telling me to do these things. And they would answer so many prayers if I actually just did them and stopped fighting it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. For sure. God didn't give us commandments to make us angry and bitter and exhausted, as I was sharing before, when we just are striving for perfection or striving to always do the right thing. So God does give us commandments for several different reasons, but he wants us to also experience the rest from knowing that he has it all under control. And Jesus came for rest. And that's what I love to think about and meditate on over Christmas, is like, why did Jesus come to earth? He came to die. He came so that we could find perfect peace and rest in God and be welcomed by the Father. And that's the greatest miracle of Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one last question. If our listeners took one thing only from this, what would you wish that they would remember?
I would say that spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical rest are all interconnected, and they all can be solved, per se, or healed. You can find rest for all of those things through Christ. So don't just go to Christ for spiritual refreshment, but also ask him to give you mental, emotional, and physical rest as well, if it's his will, because God wants us to find rest in all ways, not just spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Rachel. I wish we could continue, but this would end up being like 3 or 4 podcasts long.
We will. This was very fun. Thank you for having me. I was thinking it'd be great to come back one time and maybe we could talk about another special topic like Christmas or salvation or anything that is a really deep topic.
Yeah, for sure. Next year, I don't have any topics scheduled or anything. It's going to be totally random as the Lord leads. So I'm sure there will be something we could talk about.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Allie. It was a blessing to be here and to share my thoughts with the listeners, and I want everyone to keep finding their rest and peace in Christ.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I was gonna say that was it.
And that's it. See you next time.
Thank Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Be Still and Run. Hopefully, I will be able to interview some more people next year, 2024, and get a different perspective from friends and people that have gone through trials, and just allow them to share their story and what God has been teaching them, what God has taught them. And I really enjoy hearing testimonies from other people, and I'm sure I'm not the only one. They're very encouraging, and they really help me to draw closer to God, especially as like friends. They, you can see like answered prayers, and you can pray for each other and everything. So yeah, I really, really hope to, Lord willing, next year be interviewing some more people. So if you guys are interested in that, let me know, and I will definitely be diving into that more next year. So hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving, and I'll see you next week.